Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll read verses 24 through verse number 33. And I'll give you the subject tonight and everything. But do pray that God would speak to our hearts. And, you know, the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And sometimes we don't hear with a spiritual ear. And we need to pray that God would give us a spiritual ear and spiritual understanding, especially for the day and time in which we live. So if you find your place, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible said, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." And there's two groups that we read about there in chapter number 1. And the first group, we could say they failed to listen to the voice of God. God spoke to them and warned them and reached out to them and all of these things. And he said there in verses 24 and 25, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." And they failed to listen to God. And the result is in verse 26 and 27, the Lord said to him, "Now, if you won't listen to me," that's basically what he's saying here. He said, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." And we see there's several things there. There's calamity. The word calamity, it means oppression, misfortune, ruin, destruction. You know, there's a dictionary in your King James Bible, and if you really didn't know what the word calamity was, all you'd have to do is read verse 27, where he expounds on it a little more, and he uses the word desolation, destruction, whirlwind, distress, and anguish, and all these things. And so God said, "You don't listen. These things are going to come upon you. They're going to suffer." This group that doesn't listen to God is going to suffer. And we see in verse 30 and 31, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." God tried and tried, but they would have none of it. Verse 31, "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Now, the second group is in verse number 33. He said, "But," and that's an important word. Here's the exception. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Now, the first group, they suffer. The second group, they're safe, because they listened to what God had to say. They had a spiritual ear of understanding and listened to the warning and the counsel of God. And I was praying about what I'm going to preach on tonight. And of course, today's the first. So I read Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. And that helped me get settled on what I want to preach on tonight or teach on tonight. And when I seen those two groups, and God said to the last group there, the ones that listen, he said, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." That's the group I want to be in. I want to hear what God has to say, because there's safety in that. And I want to try to preach tonight on the subject of this, what the Bible says about being prepared. What the Bible says about being prepared. The Bible has a great deal to say about being prepared for different things. And for example, and we'll turn some places tonight, but in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it said, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah listened, and when the time of destruction came upon the world, he dwelt safely." That's a good illustration of chapter 1 and verse number 33. He moved by faith, or by faith he moved, and he prepared an ark, the Bible says. Now, look over in Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to turn a few different places tonight, especially to begin with, and try to see some things here and lay some foundation. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 3. We'll read that verse. And in the book of Proverbs, there's just a few verses that are repeated. And this is one of them that's repeated word for word. It's the same exact verse in Proverbs 27 and verse 12. But we'll read here in chapter 22 and verse 3. The Bible says, A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And two times we find that same verse in the Word of God. The prudent man that has some wisdom and some discretion and some knowledge about his surroundings, he foresees the evil and he hides himself, the Bible says. And so there's something the Word of God has to say about preparing or hiding ourselves when we see evil coming. Now, if we just look tonight at the big picture, if our nation is not a picture of that first group in Proverbs chapter 1, I don't know what is. I mean, of all the times that God has spoke and spoke and spoke, and we've come to a place now in America, I know not everybody in America, but certainly in the government and in the rich people, for the most part in America, and those that have power and influence and leadership in our country, for the most part, they don't want to hear anything God's got to say. They're not interested in hearing, "Thus saith the Lord." And so our nation is a picture of that first group in Proverbs chapter number 1. Now, it doesn't matter how big a tree is. If it's rotten on the inside, it'll fall. Doesn't matter if it's even has leaves on it, or it can even have fruit on it. You know, a tree can bear leaves. It can have leaves, bear fruit, and it can be rotten on the inside and just barely standing up. And then one day you look outside and the wind's blown just a little bit, and that tree that you didn't know anything was wrong with it, it's out there laying on the ground, and you go up there and look at it and say, "Well, I'll be, that thing was rotten on the inside." I believe that's about where our country is tonight, just rotten on the inside, standing up, you know, and to some it might look like it's all right, but our nation is not all right tonight. Now, it's not my intention to scare anybody or cause anybody undue worry in their lives. There's plenty of that out here in the world. There's been over the past year, and there's been a lot of talk about 2012. And the Mayan calendar runs out, and many people have talked about, does this mean that it's going to be the end of the world? And people talk about the prophecies of, or false prophecies of Nostradamus and things like that. And to me, it's sort of like Y2K all over again. Some of you remember 1998, 1999, and they said, well, the computers can't recognize this 2000. And when 01 or 00 rolls around, it's going to be like 1900 all over again. Stores can't order. You can't get gas out of a digital machine. I mean, just all this horror stories and prepare and survival food. And, you know, just society is just going to crash all around us. And people, they got all upset and read books, and a lot of people made a lot of money off that, but you know, it rolled around, nothing happened. And if all we're looking at is 2012 and the Mayan calendar, well, I've got no use in that. All I care is what the Word of God says. And that's what I want to look at tonight, is what the Word of God says. But there's a lot of fear mongering. People make money when people operate out of fear and not out of good sense or being guided and directed by the Word of God. There's a show coming on the National Geographic Channel, and it's called Doomsday Preppers. Doomsday Preppers. And it's, I read the little preview about it. It said, Doomsday Preppers explores the lives of otherwise ordinary Americans who are preparing for the end of the world as we know it. And it's going to be a television show about people that are getting ready for the end of the world. And I seen one commercial. I'm not advertising to watch it or anything, but there was a lady, and she was talking about all the food that she had stored up over the years. And I mean, she had every nook and cranny crammed full. And she told the camera there, they was interviewing her, and she said, if something real bad happens and there's a food shortage, she said, I'm going to be the only one around that needs to lose 100 pounds. She is serious about hoarding food up and not running out of food and everything. And the whole show is about just people preparing for, as it said, the end of the world as we know it. And there's, I seen something else. There's a lot of survival oriented websites selling dehydrated food in 5 gallon buckets, and they're making all kinds of money. Guns and ammunition have been all time sales for several years now, a few years now, probably the last 3 years, gun sales, ammunition sales, backup power sources, gold and silver. You can't turn on the radio. You can't look in a newspaper. Somebody wants to buy your gold. Or there's advertisements, you know, the dollar's falling, buy gold. And that always makes me laugh. I think I'm worried about buying groceries, not buying gold. But you know, you hear a lot about these things. And so, you know, just to look at it in the light of the Word of God tonight, should we be doing those things? Or are those people just crazy? Or is there a good middle ground to be? You know, just what does the Bible say about preparing? And so that's what I want to look at tonight, and that's all I'm interested in. What does the Bible say? Look in Joshua chapter number 1. I was studying over there and reading through. I seen this in my Bible reading the other day, reading through the Bible every year, and come to the book of Joshua and trying to get some daily food out of there. And I'd even thought about preaching out of Joshua chapter number 1. He's given command. Moses is dead. He has a great responsibility now. He's the general of the military over Israel and the leader of the nation. And they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and they're going to conquer and fight and do all kinds of things over there. And so the Lord talks to him, and chapter number 1, very familiar scripture, verse 6. The Lord said, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And he tells him in verse number 8, and I like this. Now, God's talking to the man that's going to take over the leadership of the nation. And he didn't tell him, now, Joshua, you need to read Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Has anybody ever heard about that? That's anybody in the military or tactics or survival or especially in the military, that's high on the list for recommended reading. He's old, even before the times of Christ. He didn't tell him to read Sun Tzu, Art of War. He didn't tell him to get him a copy of the United States Army Survival Manual or anything like that. He told Joshua in verse number 8, this book of the law, what he had right there, this book of the law, Joshua, you're going to be the leader. Here's what I want you to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, Joshua, everything you need is right there in that book. You get in the Word of God. You read it. You meditate upon it. You follow what the Word of God says, and then you'll have good success. Then your way will be prosperous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, that'll help us if we'll really get a hold of that tonight. Of all that Joshua, all of his responsibilities, God said, get in the book. Get in the book, stay in the book, and you'll have a prosperous way, and you'll have good success. Now, here's what I noticed. I noticed that, and I was reading and meditating upon that and thinking, you know, we just need to get in the book. The book has all the answers. And then I read on down in verse number 10, we find the first command that Joshua made as the new leader of the nation. He said in verse number 10, now I think that he's been in the book. When you see then in the Bible or so in the Bible, when it's starting out a sentence, it's usually indicating that time has passed by. So maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe the next morning, I don't know. But after God told Joshua to get in the book, then Joshua gave a command. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, the first command that Joshua gave was a command concerning their physical needs that they were going to have. Joshua learned some things in the Word of God. He learned some practical things. He said, go through, tell the people, prepare you victuals. That's, you need to get some food ready. We're going to cross the Jordan. Not only did he know that they were going to need some food, he learned some other things. He learned that God's battle plan was going to take place in 3 days. They were going to pass over Jordan. They were going to go in. They were going to possess the land which God had given unto them. So Joshua learned a lot of things just by getting in the Word of God and reading and meditating and studying. God spoke to him. Told him what they needed to do to lead the children of Israel across Jordan there. And so a lot of people, a lot of Christians, when they look at the Bible, they just think of it as they just have a spiritual category that they put that in. But the Word of God has what we need for every area of our life. If we'll get in the Word of God, we'll know what to do spiritually. We'll know what to do physically. See, in God's eyes, I don't believe there's that big of a division. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for us. So we think of Joshua as a spiritual leader, and he was, but he was also the physical leader. And he said, go through and tell them to prepare victuals. They're going to need food. Life is never going to be the same in 3 days. It's all going to change. You need to prepare before we go. And life's like that. It's continually changing. Never be the same. I believe we're living in days like that. So he told them to prepare. Look in the next to last chapter in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. And we'll stay over there a little while. But Proverbs chapter number 30. I got studying in the Word of God about what it had to say about prepare, and there's too many places that you find the word prepare to even try to get to even a small portion of them tonight, but I think this is a real good one in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 24 and verse number 25. The Bible said, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The word prepare, it's talking about the ants there. They're wise. They prepare ahead of time. They don't wait till the frost comes and get ready for winter. They prepare in the summertime. This is a principle we find in the Word of God that we ought to prepare. The word prepare, it just simply means this, the state of being prepared or in readiness. It means to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. I'm going to give you three things tonight quickly. Spiritually, we need to be prepared mentally and physically, and we'll look at all those tonight. But first of all, spiritually, we could bring a whole message on the subject of spiritual preparation. It goes without saying that we need to make sure we're saved by the grace of God. I don't see how people make it in this life without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer to that is that you won't. If you neglect salvation, you won't escape. And so we're to be prepared spiritually, but I believe we need to go farther than just say, well, you need to make sure you're saved. Well, you do need to make sure you're saved, and that's the first thing, but we need to go farther than that. We need to be a spiritual people. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to be spirit-filled in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be led of the Spirit in everything that we do. The Bible is full, and history is full of examples of God speaking to man and man not listening. All of them prophets, you go in the Old Testament, God didn't send a prophet because they were doing good. God sent prophets when they were doing bad. And they needed somebody to come along and say, thus saith the Lord, if you don't straighten up, you're going to go into captivity. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the way, see and ask for the old paths, get back where you need to be. And the Word of God's full of examples where they just didn't listen, and they reaped the judgment of God. And so there's a lot of examples in that. There's examples in history of that. We studied the hiding place with Corrie ten Boom, and that's a great study on being prepared. Look in Acts chapter number 20. I was studying about Paul over there, and Paul's speaking to the elders at Ephesus. In Acts chapter number 20, I'll give you just a minute to turn over there, but you know the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of trials and tribulations in his life. And I think there's a good example over here about being led of the Spirit of God and listening to the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 22. The Bible says, and Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and he said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And I'm not being mystical or fanatical tonight or trying to be super spiritual in saying this, but I do believe God still speaks to His children. I believe God leads His children, like that song they sang tonight. He leads us along. And something I noticed here about the Apostle Paul, he said in verse number 22 that he was going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He just, he couldn't change direction. He knew that God was leading him that way. And he said, talks about his being bound in the Spirit. And then he said, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said outright, I don't know what's going to happen to me. But in verse number 23, he said, save, and we would say like this, we would say, save, we would say, he was saying, this is the only thing I do know. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me there. He knew. He didn't know, but he did know. He knew everywhere he went, the Holy Ghost of God was speaking to his heart and showing him and confirming to him that although he didn't know everything is going to happen, he knew he was going to end up in bonds. He knew that, and I believe God speaks to us in a still, small voice and leads us as we get into the Word of God. Now, we live in days of spiritual dwarfism. Spiritual midgetry. I mean, people out here under the banner of Christianity, a lot of them, they believe the Holy Ghost goes to rock concerts to receive worship. How spiritually blind and can a person be? I mean, all that goes on, there's not an abundance of spirit-filled, spirit-led, spiritual people. People think that God is in the clouds and you can take a picture of him with your cell phone, put it on Facebook and stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff out here that, I mean, the Spirit of God is not within a million miles off. We need to be spiritually prepared. We need to be people of the book. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to be a people that are led by the Spirit of God. And just ask yourself the question tonight, what does the Spirit of God say to you? What's that still small voice speak to you in the middle of the night about? And I'm not talking about worry and fretting over things, but I'm just talking about hearing the voice of God. And what is the Spirit of God trying to... I believe God speaks to His children. I don't claim anything at any other Christian, but I believe that spiritually minded people can see, sort of like Paul, there's trouble brewing in this world. There's trouble. We need to learn to hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto us. And listen with open ears. We need to be prepared spiritually speaking. Let me move on. We need to be prepared mentally speaking tonight. Now, God told Joshua back there, He said, "Have not I told thee, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be fretting, don't be afraid. Joshua, there's going to be battles ahead." We all know there's going to be all kinds of battles in our lives. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the spirit of fear will cause you to panic. The spirit of fear will cause you to worry and fret and make rash decisions and make people think you're crazy and put you on a reality TV show. That's not how we're to be. If we run around acting like, you know, Chicken Little and all of this stuff, the world's going to look at us and God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What to be people of a sound mind. And it's really difficult. I've learned down through the years, it's difficult for a lot of people to even think about calamities happening or anything bad. Some people think by not thinking about it that something bad won't happen. By not preparing in our lives for situations that come up, that means it won't happen. But yet these people are saved by the grace of God, love the Lord, know that the Bible is true when it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Christians, they'll agree with you on that. Do we think the latter days are just going to be a cakewalk and going to be easy and nothing bad ever happening in anybody's life or anything like that? Surely we know more than that. And a lot of it is just we got to get our minds wrapped around this thing so we can be of power and of love and of a sound mind. It would really help us if you can't think about... When I was growing up, you know, I'd heard preachers preach that the communists would invade our nation, take away our Bibles. You'd better memorize the Bible. It's in a communist country. Does anybody remember any preaching like that? If you can't think of life like that, just think of it like this. It'd really help us to get back to the mindset of our grandparents. They lived... They prepared for life like the ants. Like the ants. They prepared their meat in the summer. There's nothing wrong with just preparing. They knew how to be self-sufficient and prepared for winter when it would come. And they saved their money and cut wood and planted gardens and canned beans, and they just knew how to survive. They knew how to make it. Be good for us. We just knew how to do some things in this life. That generation gave us a penny saved as a penny earned. Boy, I tell you, people don't know anything about that now. Of course, I know a penny's not worth anything. But that came out of that generation. Make hay while the sun shines, meaning don't be lazy. Take advantage of good opportunity. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that generation or two before this generation, they knew how to flourish in hard times. They were wise, like the ants. Prepared their meat in the summer. Preparing for emergencies or weather disasters or anything along those lines that be considered a catastrophe is not a lack of faith. The Bible said about Noah, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, what did he do? If you read that over there when you get home, he moved, he prepared an ark, and saved his house. He did that by faith, not by fear, by faith. He knew. God spoke to him. Said, I'm going to send a flood. And Noah did not move out of fear. He moved out of faith. We need to move and be prepared out of faith. I read something the other day. It said, the more we sweat in peace, the less we'll bleed in war. I thought that was pretty good. The more we sweat in peace, the less we'll bleed in war. So we need to be prepared mentally as well as spiritually speaking. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, let's think about this world and how it really is. I told Kim before I left, you know, we're always gone on Wednesday night. I said, lock the door. I said, the gun's in there where it is. I said, Wednesday night be a good time for somebody to break in because they think we're always gone. She said, well, thanks a lot. I said, yeah, you need to think. You need to think about things. And I said, just empty the magazine. And we'll call 911 and deal with it when I get home. Think about things. Think about this world. There's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot. Moving on quickly tonight, physically. We need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be prepared mentally. What if? What if we had a blizzard like in the 60s? Was it 60? That could happen again. It doesn't have to be some evil something. I mean, catastrophes happen all the time. Tornadoes. Whoever heard of a tornado in the mountains now? We know about tornadoes in the mountains. What about an earthquake last year on the East Coast? Even shook right here in the mountains. You know, we're living on a fault line. We could have an earthquake. The Bible says in the last days there'll be earthquakes in divers places. That means different places. So anything like that could happen. We need to be prepared mentally. We need to be prepared physically. Now, you don't have to break the bank to be prepared physically for unforeseen circumstances. I'm not going to buy a condo in a survival silo somewhere in the mountains of Arizona that nobody knows where it is or anything like that. I mean, we live in the best place in the world. I've always heard people say, boy, if anything happens, I'm going to go to the mountains. So we live in a good place. I don't want to go nowhere else. Now, if I lived in Charlotte, I'd think about getting out of there. But I'm thinking about, I don't want to, I think we're pretty, sitting pretty good. But you don't have to go off and buy some property somewhere. We live in a good place. But people think, well, should I buy some gold? Before I ever worried about buying gold or before I ever worried about buying any silver, you know, I think it'd be good for us common folk. I've heard gold is for kings and silver's for common people. But before I ever went and spent money on any of that, you know, it would be good just to think to myself, what would I buy if it come down to me having to have gold or silver? Now is the time to buy, not in the future in some unforeseen emergency. Poor Richard's Almanac. Benjamin Franklin used to put that out in the 1700s. One of his sayings was this: necessity never made a good bargain. You ever went and you had to buy something? You know, you had something and it tore up and you just had to have it. I guarantee you didn't get a good deal. So when the time comes that you need something, you're not going to get a good bargain. You're going to pay a high price. But all you need to do, and thinking about physically preparing, is just buy now some extra things that you know that you would need if we did have a blizzard. If the Walmart truck didn't run and you couldn't get there for a couple of days, my goodness, that'd be the end of the world. Just buy a few extra things along the way that you know is not going to go out of date. You know, our grandparents, if you went down to either one of my grandparents to get something, or they, you know, they went to the cupboard, they went to the cellar, we run to the store. We're just used to that mindset, and we need to change that and get back to having some more wisdom in our lives. If you think that people are living their lives prepared, just watch the stores when they talk about snow in 1 or 2 inches. Well, I'll tell you, they'll go in and buy all the bread and all the hamburger buns and all the skim milk and buttermilk. I mean, everything gets gone. Nobody lives prepared for nothing. I just think they'll always run to the store and it'll always be there. So I'm not going to go into details on stuff like that. A lot of it's just good common sense. You know, something I try to do, I try to keep enough gas in my vehicle if I had to go somewhere. I fussed at Kim before and, you know, get in the vehicle and it be on empty. What if I had to go to Charlotte in the middle of the night or something? You know, just things like that. And maintenance on your cars. I would encourage everybody to keep some cash on hand. The day might come where them little swipey cards, I'm amazed at the amount of people that don't carry any money whatsoever. They just always assume that they're going to be able to swipe a card and that money's going to be there, that thing's going to work. What if you're out needing gas and their thing don't work? Their card reader don't work. Just carry some cash. Have some cash. If anybody has any left after the past 3 years, you know, I would keep some cash somewhere where I could get my hands on it if I had some. People talk about guns and ammunition and all that. Guns are not for everybody. But for those that are and comfortable with and everything, I really believe people ought to have guns. And ammo. Here's a funny thing I noticed when I sold guns. Guys would come in. I'll pick on the guys. And man, I got to have this nice gun. I want to have 10 extra 30-round clips. You know, they call it all kinds of things. This is my end-of-the-world gun. This is my, you know, and you'd have people come in like that. And so they'd get the gun and you'd say, "Do you want some ammo for it?" Well, man, I don't think I got enough money. Let me get one box. I'll get a box. It always amazed me. If you don't have ammunition to shoot in a gun, then you just got an expensive stick. You know, but people don't think about these things. It amazes me how people don't think about things. Have some food in the cupboard that's not going to go out of date. Have some water set aside. I've done this for several years now. You know, if you have some water set to the side, just you can buy a jug. Big old jug, looks like a gas can for $7 or $8. You can get these things, they drink water out of these big 5-gallon jugs. They turn upside down. I've found a couple of them. Mom gave them to me a while back. I said, "You going to use them?" No, she let me take them and I just keep them filled up with water. And you know, if the electricity goes out, you can still use the toilet for a long time. It's a blessing. Just some simple things. People don't think. We need to think. Whatever you need, Get what you can now. Think ahead and plan ahead and think about things. Nobody is going to have everything. But especially one thing about living here in the mountains, a lot of people have a lot of things. And if you have a good neighbor, good friend, good family, good church family, I think we'll be all right. If we had a few days, we couldn't go to Walmart or something terrible happened in our nation. Many things could happen for which we need to be prepared. Natural disaster, blizzard, fires, tornadoes, earthquakes. We've always heard for the past several years about terrorist attacks. You know, that could happen. That could happen. A terrorist group could set off a small nuclear bomb in one of our cities. I mean, anything could happen. And we're foolish to think that it couldn't happen. What about an epidemic of sickness in our nation? Or just any number of things. Two things I'll mention quickly tonight that I think would be more likely to happen than anything else. One would be persecution of the church. Persecution of Christians. You watch the news. Anybody that reads and really keeps up. I'm not just talking about what comes on TV, but you dig around a little bit, there's a lot of opposition to Christians and Jews. Everywhere you look, National Day of Prayer is coming up, and there's a retired General Boykin. He's a Christian man. He spoke out against Islam and basically just told the truth about it. He was going to be at the prayer breakfast at West Point. A Christian man going to speak at a prayer breakfast. And the Muslims and the atheists put so much pressure at West Point that he bowed out of coming. And that's where we're at in our nation. That a Christian would be pressured out of speaking at a prayer breakfast by Muslims and atheists. Well, that's sad, isn't it? There are those, not everybody, but there's a lot of opportunity for persecution in this country to come about. I think probably the most likely thing that would happen in our country would be an economic meltdown. I do believe that's very possible. Our debt, I just seen in the news yesterday, they've added another $1 trillion this year. That's not even imaginable how much money that is. That's really not there. It's almost like if you would have went into office saying, I'd like to crash the country, here's what I'm going to do. They've done everything. Our debt is far, far higher than it's ever been. The value of our dollar is low. The only thing that helps us is that's the currency that the world trades in. Many countries in the world hate the United States of America and would love to see us fall. Just a few years ago, we was paying $1.50 for gas. Now it's up to $3.50. And it's an election year. That's what started all that to begin with. And here's another election year. And so anything in Iran or the Strait of Hormuz could change things over there. I picked up this book last Thursday night at school, and I've read it before. But I was waiting on my class, and it's been on the bookshelf. I got it down. It's called The Coming Persecution of the Church by Don McIlvaney. And he's talking about things in 1993 and before that. And it is amazing what he talks about that has happened, and then above and beyond what he talked about. It's really interesting. Our nation is not headed on a good course. Our currency is not in a good shape. We have a fiat currency in this country. And most nations do. And fiat is a word, I think it's a Latin word or French word, and it means let it be. That means that when you have a fiat currency, that means the government has come along and said, voila, it's money. It's worth something. You know, we carry around them dollar bills. Really, that's just paper. That's not worth anything. And once upon a time in our country, our money was worth something. I brought 2 50-cent pieces with me tonight. And one of them is worth about $7. And one of them's worth 50 cents, but they're both 50 cent pieces. One of them, if the price of it goes down, the price of the other one will just keep on going on up and up and up. And you know what the difference is? That one is 1964, and it's 90% silver. That's worth something. That's just made out of copper. That's not worth anything. And so our currency, really, now, nothing you have in your pocket is worth anything except that everybody else has it in their pocket and we're just hoping. And well, that's the kind of currency we have. Our currency's really not worth anything. And we've seen several things happen in the past few years. We've seen that prices have been super inflated because of easy credit in our nation. You know as well as I do, right here in the mountains of Watauga County, and we've all looked around and seen some of these houses and some of these lots up here on the side of a goat path going for $500,000, and we've all snickered at that and said, that ain't worth that. But people were buying it because they could get credit. Well, that busted and went away and crashed, and now that's gone, and they call that the housing bubble crash. And so it went from a state of being easy credit to now, boy, good luck if you want to get a loan for anything. That credit is not there anymore. And very hard to get a loan for something. And then these high-priced items, I've heard many people talk about, remember Heavenly Mountain, how, what was it? They wanted $80 million, and it went for $13 million. And then that fellow didn't come through with it. All of those things are signs of an economy that's getting ready to crash. And then when the government makes more money and puts it into the system, it's a death blow to our economy when they do that. And I'm reading a book right now that's what is happening in our societies. It's not the first time it's ever happened. What I'm reading is talking about what happened in the early 1700s in France. A guy from America whose last name was Law had a big idea that nations needed to use paper money instead of gold and silver. And it crashed France and caused Napoleon Bonaparte to rise to power. It's very interesting, but Margaret Thatcher said this, the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that's about where we are in America. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32 said, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We need some people that just has some discernment and wisdom to know what to do. Proverbs 21:31, and I'll close with this. It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And you can prepare 1,000 different ways. But really, in the end, safety is of the Lord. The Lord's the one who's our shelter, who's our high tower, who's our strength, who's our guidance, counselor in this life. And boy, I'm thankful I've got the Lord, because it's a scary world we're living in. But I promise I'll sleep good tonight. If that coffee I had this afternoon don't keep me up. But normally I sleep good. If I don't, it's not because I'm worried about things. So what's the Bible say about being prepared? It says you ought to be. But just don't be a nut. Because people won't have no confidence in you if you are.